The cell phone is the new transistor radio. Just like your grandfather may have carried his radio wherever he went, you carry your phone with you all the time. Which means you can listen to American Family Radio anytime you want with the AFR app. You'll find live talk programming, 24-hour Christian music, and access to podcasts of all your favorite AFR shows. Just go to the App Store and download the AFR app for free. Your grandfather would be proud.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. On this Thursday, February the 6th, 2025. And joining me in studio today is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good. Looking forward to the program today.
And glad to hear that enthusiasm.
Yes, sir.
I like that spirit.
Genuine, too.
Yes. And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning.
And then in Kansas City is our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. And the weather report for Kansas City is what?
We have sneaked up to 30 degrees this morning. 30 degrees. So it's a heat wave here.
Yeah.
Heat wave.
Well.
What's it like in Tupelo?
Well, in Tupelo, we've had like 65 to 70 all week.
Good weather.
And today, was it for today, Fred?
67.
Yeah, I woke up this morning early. It was 64. Early.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So we're having some early springtime weather. I don't know what. Do they have a redneck version of Punxsutawney Phil?
Now you're going to have to make
it. Do they have a down south version of that? Because
it seems like they should.
I think our the Punxsutawney Phil, the real Punxsutawney Phil in Pennsylvania,
right.
I think he said. What'd he say? Six more weeks?
More winter is what he said, right?
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, I don't know.
up north, it is cold up north.
It is, but, yeah. I was seeing that the report, and I didn't know if you were going to experience it in Kansas City, but I was seeing there's a winter storm, an ice storm headed for like the Midwest and
right.
Northeast.
And to the Northeast. I think it's kind of slid off to the east of us.
Yeah, okay. Well, y'all been punished. Y'all were punished enough a couple of weeks ago, weren't you?
Yeah, we were. And I didn't want to mention this, Tim, but it is Super Bowl weekend here in Kansas City. And,
There is a big game.
I didn't want to mention that. But.
That's right. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles, yeah.
All right, give us a score, Ray. I'm writing this down.
All right, you got it. Yeah. It's going to be about 31-29. Pretty close. I think the Chiefs are going to pull it out, but the Eagles are good. You know what? I think the Eagles are better than they were 2 years ago. It's good. They got Saquon Barkley. That kid can run.
Oh, gosh.
Man, he can run.
All right, Wesley, give me a score.
Oh, 34-31. Philadelphia.
Yeah.
31-30. What?
34-31. Philadelphia.
Oh, a close game, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know, real quick, a little bit of a side note. Do you remember, this is a good testimony for, and I guess not giving up, but Jalen Hurts was told over and over again he had no chance of being a quarterback
in the NFL.
And furthermore, backing up for that, he actually transferred because he lost his starting position.
At Alabama.
From Alabama and went to Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Because he lost his job.
Perseverance.
Yeah.
That's right. Perseverance. Last instance. Now he's saying, how do you like me now?
Yeah.
You got that right.
How do you like me now? All right. Well, a lot to talk about today. A lot to going on in the world, including the Super Bowl. Did you guys see where the president is going to go?
First sitting president ever to go to the Super Bowl.
Interesting.
You see that, Fred?
Oh, yeah. He's nonstop. He doesn't. He's not afraid.
No, he doesn't. I don't think the guy sleeps.
You're pretty confident he doesn't sleep.
No.
I don't know when he goes to bed. I mean, I thought I was a night owl.
And you wake up in the morning and see True Social posts after you went to bed.
I know. I think Trump sleeps between 1 and 4.
Somewhere in that
maybe
area.
Maybe right in there. And then he pops up, puts on the suit and the red tie, and ready and combs the hair and is ready to go.
Whatever they're serving him in his oatmeal, I want some of it. Let me tell you.
Wonder if it's a caffeine.
I've never
regiment.
Seen anything like it. Huh? What'd you say?
Wonder if it's a caffeine regimen.
I don't know. Maybe he needs to, you know, do some kind of a fitness.
His metabolism is pretty high, yeah. Right?
He's a burgers and fry guy.
Yeah, he is.
He does.
That's just Diet wrong. Coke, right? Burgers.
Yeah.
I would like to be every meal too, but I would have a heart attack in two weeks.
Could you imagine him walking out to give a speech or an update or whatever, and only for him to go into his regiment of how he wakes up and his daily routine.
Yeah. I don't know if he's ever said what he has for breakfast. So I don't know. I do know he enjoys his
burger
and his McDonald's, you know.
Yeah.
And so.
I get the feeling. I don't know. You guys may know. I never hear him talk about, quote, working out in the way.
Or exercising. Talking, yeah,
running
yeah,
or
true.
Lifting weights. He plays golf. That seems
he does.
Only. Yeah.
Well, he does play golf. Of course, that's not high cardio. Especially when you're the golf cart. Now, if you walk the golf course, yes, that would be strenuous to do. I see people do that, and that they
as exercise.
They pull their clubs behind them, or some. I've seen on rare occasion you'll see somebody carrying their own clubs. They have to do that in high school and college. Do you know that?
Oh,
these golfers,
no caddy.
Oh no,
you mean sling it over your
over
shoulder.
Their shoulder?
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Now I know guys do. I want to say girls do. Some of the girls do too. Wow. They allow.
You got to be in really good shape. For 18.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Woodward, our new.
You rename him.
Yeah. That's it.
You gave him a new last name.
I did. Okay. I haven't had my caffeine yet this morning. He wants everyone to know that if it turns out that Diet Coke, McDonald's, and fries is the key, then he's going to start buying stock.
There you go.
Well, I just think Trump has some kind of. Highly unusual DNA that 99% of us don't have.
Uh-huh. Right.
Of course, it doesn't hurt to be catered to hand and foot 24/7 either.
That helps too.
Doesn't have to go make his own scrambled eggs.
No. He's not going through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A.
Trying to balance everything.
That's right.
Hoping Diet Coke doesn't spill out before you get home.
One of the pictures that I saw in the last couple of years was he was aboard his – Trump One or whatever he calls it, 757, the Boeing 757.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy's a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's flying a multi-million dollar airplane that he owns, but he's there with a bag of McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's funny to watch.
It's one of those juxtaposed pictures.
I know.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
I will say, but so anyway, so Sunday's the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and President Trump is going to go, and it'll be the first time a sitting president has gone to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Obviously, for security reasons. It's Secret Service probably wasn't happy to hear that. and the officials at the Super Bowl they probably weren't happy to hear that. But, hey, he's the president. He goes where he wants to. Is Vice President Vance going to be with him? Do you know? They usually don't like those.
The same
spirit.
I haven't heard, but I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know if he's going to go or not. All right. So, That's in the news. He's the first sitting president to go and make an appear. Go to the. He's a big football fan. Is Trump so? All right, Fred. What's the first story?
Well, speaking of the president, speaking of getting up early, he spoke this morning at the National Prayer Breakfast, and he actually had some pretty important announcements to make for Christians. Let's have a listen. Cut number 14.
I'm announcing that I will be creating a brand new presidential commission on religious liberty. It's going to be a very big deal, which will work tirelessly to uphold this most fundamental right. Unfortunately, in recent years, we've seen this sacred liberty threatened like never before in American history. There's nothing happened like the last 4 years. What's happened with so many things have gone bad, but religion, what they've done and the persecution that they've executed have been just horrible. For example, most of us would not have believed it possible that a grandmother with a severe medical condition would be put in jail for praying here in America. She was put in jail because she was praying, but we're joined today by a woman who was 75 years old, Paulette Harlow was sentenced to 2 years in prison for peacefully praying outside of a clinic, charged under an obscure law that hadn't been used in years, selectively weaponized against Christians by the previous administration.
He also announced that he is under his new Attorney General, Pam Bondi. She's going to be setting up a task force on anti-Christian bias. He says he believes there's all kinds of forms of anti-Christian bias, targeting and discrimination within the federal government, including at the DOJ, which was absolutely terrible, he says, the IRS, the FBI, and other agencies. So that's a task force specifically on anti-Christian bias. The left is already going crazy about that. They believe that is terrible, that it's bias in favor of Christians by setting up a task force on anti-Christian bias.
So you said the left is going crazy on that?
The left is going crazy that there's going to be a task force.
What do they think the worst thing that can happen?
What do they think? Well, that
what's their position?
They're showing, and there's an atheist group that's already been speaking out about this too. They believe that they're turning it around to say, well, that means Christianity is going to be favored over other religions.
Yes.
So that's their objection at this point.
Based on Trump's comments right there, talking about the grandmother that was in prison or sentenced to 2 years in prison, in that case, under this effort, she just simply doesn't go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the worst case that can happen.
Yes.
Realistically.
Yes.
Well,
but also he targeting in on how Christians were persecuted within the government agencies. He also talked about Christians, and this is kind of going back to COVID when there were religious objections to taking the shot. We saw it in the military. We saw it in other agencies. Remember early on, the attorney general, they were going to go after those with Christian points of view, conservative points of view in the military. So he says he wants to figure out where all of this came from and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Pam Bondi, she was confirmed, by the way.
Confirmed and sworn in yesterday by Clarence Thomas.
As the new attorney general of the United States.
Yes.
So she's the one who announced this?
No, he said it's going to be under her jurisdiction.
Okay. I would just say, Ray, the poor lefties, how much outrage energy can you have? I mean, it's every day they're having to get outraged. You know what I'm saying? After about 4 days of outrage, you're just exhausted.
You know, on the left, they're really in favor of religious liberty for Christians as long as we shut up, sit down and shut up. And
sit down and shut up.
Right. Sit down and shut up. Yeah. That's your religious liberty.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, good for President Trump on that one. What else did he – so he was at the National Prayer Breakfast this morning?
That is correct, yeah. He had some other things to say. He talked about his attack against men wanting to be in women's sports, cut number 11.
Some people want men in women's sports and some people don't. And I was with somebody yesterday who was so upset that the bill was signed where men cannot – participate in women's sports. And I said, he's a very smart guy, went to a great school, was a great student, and he actually feels, you know, that should happen. Men should be able to play, meaning transition into women's sports. And you talk to him and it says, you know, I don't understand it. I don't understand how the problem ever got started in the first place. Just seems so simple.
Well, he's right about that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right about that. So he was talking to somebody who disagreed with his executive order.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, and he just can't figure out how a smart guy would be okay with men. Yeah.
Everybody knows it's unfair.
Of course.
Everybody knows it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Right. By the way, I think the next thing they're going to do and crack down on this is these men who say they're women so they can go to the women's prisons.
Yes.
That's coming next. Because I was reading yesterday about that's a trend going on.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and who wouldn't want to do that? If I'm a dude, do I want to go with the brutes over here and where I'm going to have to, hang out with these guys, gangs and everything? Or do I want to go with the ladies?
Yeah.
I know, huh?
Seriously.
I want to go with the ladies and sleep in with the ladies in the ladies' area. Yeah, all I got to do, what I got to do, just say you're a woman today before the judge. I mean, that's insanity, and we all know it, but that's going to happen next, I think, is that kind of craziness is going to quit.
He had a big, the president had a big ceremony at the White House yesterday, kind of.
He did. It was a great ceremony, yeah.
And he was surrounded by women in women's sports. But also, want you to hear from former college volleyball player Macy Petty, who did an interview with us yesterday. And she talks about what it was like to be there yesterday to have the president of the United States get behind women in women's sports. Cut number 12.
The day was absolutely surreal. I was standing up on stage behind President Trump, and I saw him approaching the stage. And honestly, I got a little teary-eyed because of the magnitude of the moment. It was about 4 years ago to the day that I testified on this issue for the first time for my freshman dorm room. And everyone was telling me that this wasn't a real issue and that I was just making it up. But here I am 4 years later at the White House. And this is an issue that President Trump largely won on. And he's signing an executive order, putting those same protections into law. It was such a beautiful day. We were able to truly celebrate alongside the president and several other female athletes who have similar experiences of being discriminated against by allowing a male athlete to steal roster spots and scholarships.
I think the issue was one of the things that got Trump reelected, honestly. The insanity of allowing men to compete in women's sports. And I think that resonated across ideological lines. I think there were probably Democrat women who voted for Trump because of this issue. I mean, it just stop and think about it. And we had the example, where was it, the boxing match there in the last year or so, where you had this guy beating up on this woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And she stopped the fight.
Yeah, that was in the Olympics.
It was in the Olympics. Yeah,
in the Olympics.
The insanity of it.
Yeah, but that's all. This is all, it's one of the issues that cost the Democrats the presidential election, among other things, was this issue. And even a lot of Democrats, they know this is fundamentally unfair and it's insane, and they can't defend it. So they're losing on this issue. But good for President Trump for signing this executive order yesterday. What happened there with Biden and Harris is they started trying to impose this transgendered agenda on kids across the country, and they were using federal dollars to do it. They were saying, this is why it's funny to me to hear from Democrats and the left saying Trump shouldn't be allowed to let Elon Musk, point out these wasteful spending agencies, is that, guess what? That's precisely what the Democrats did when Biden was in. They took federal dollars that was intended under Title IX, Health and Human Services Department, to be distributed to the states, as it is annually. Well, Biden said, I'm going to put a condition on this. The federal dollars that you're supposed to get, states, you're only going to get the money is if you allow boys to play girls' sports and go in girls' changing rooms. And if somebody wants to call themselves a trans, you need to cater to them. And a lot of the states, I remember Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida said, we will not comply. Florida will not comply to this coercing. And other states did as well. That's what was happening. They were, Biden and Harris and the Democrats were trying to jam this down America's throat. And that's one of the reasons they lost the election was people said, no, it's boys playing girls sports. No, we don't agree with that. And we're not going to accept that. Another thing I saw yesterday, Ray, was that there's been a lawsuit filed now, and I can't remember who did it exactly, but trying to reverse the records that were broken by the male swimmer. Remember the male?
Yeah.
The records that have been broken by males in other sports too, I think, in the last 2 or 3 years.
Good. You know, there are some issues that are hard for Americans to really fully understand. It's what we debate this tariff stuff because we've talked on here. It's hard to understand the whole tariff question. Right. Okay. But nothing is more common sense than saying men should compete with men in sports and women with women. And if you decide to call yourself a woman, fine, but we're not going to let you compete in yes. women's sports. Yes. That's common sense.
That's common sense. Exactly.
Americans understand.
And also related to that, directly related to that, not only the competition on the field or on the basketball court or the volleyball court or wherever the case may be, not only that, but when you say that the boy can play girls' sports, guess what? He gets to go to the showers with
yeah,
the girls.
Right. Changing rooms.
Changing rooms and showers. And if the girls are being told by Biden and company, if you don't like it, tough luck.
Mm-hmm.
Just tough luck. You don't like having boys in your changing area. You just need to acknowledge and say that they're girls.
Yeah.
And even though
that's the bottom line.
Even though they're not, and we all know they're not. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm having a moment here, and yeah. I just can't
are
help
you having
myself.
A moment?
I'm having a moment. Okay. While y'all are having this conversation, for whatever reason, that just comes to mind.
You want a Big Mac?
No, I don't want a Big Mac. Okay. I want to know where the, quote, evangelicals for Harris or the Russell Moores and the there's a handful of them. Where are they on these couple positions as it relates to – I understand they're not going to be 100% with a lot of what Trump's doing regardless, but on these biblical issues, this is a – I understand you can make the case for even economics being biblical. I understand that. But I'm talking about these hard, very, very core issues of gender and sexuality and minors and transgenderism. The fact that Trump's and religious liberty. What I would like to know what's their reaction.
Who, the evangelicals for
Harris?
I think they disbanded.
They disbanded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They ran out of money. Their treasurer quit.
And I know on a spectrum, you know, you've got a variation of these people, but people like Russell Moore, is he responding? I know Chris Woodward is listening.
Why is he on that, evangelicals for Harris, Dr. Russell Moore?
He is like-minded with evangelicals for Harris.
Yeah, yes.
So because he's like-minded, I would like to know that group and that company.
Right.
What's their reaction to more religious liberty and more... Because they've been opposed to Trump all along.
They're probably going to tell you that they don't agree with him. They don't agree with that. But that we need to be kind to transgendered and not be mean to them.
So you think they would be in support of more religious liberty, like
religious? They're probably
the prayer breakfast
they're probably going to say something like that's a boogeyman. That there isn't any threat against Christians in America, and
so you don't think they would celebrate the fact that this grandmother is not going to prison?
You see the
position. My point is, they spent many years criticizing Trump, and then all of a sudden, Trump's doing things in favor for Christianity.
Yeah,
and I would be wondering if they're going to give him any credit. That's the bottom line I'm getting.
I can tell you one thing for sure: I've read nothing.
Yep.
From Russell Moore, David French, some of these others.
David French is another one.
Yeah.
So my point is do we now – will they now give him some credit for helping the Christian community? That's my question.
We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. Are you going to hold your breath?
No, not hold my breath.
All right. Let's take our break early so Wesley doesn't have to hold his breath.
The whole time.
During the break.
That's my moment.
I don't know. We humans are a prideful bunch. We don't want to admit we're wrong. Especially publicly.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to admit you're wrong. You just recognize what he's done well for the Christian community.
That would be admitting you're wrong.
Okay.
That's fair. If you're the, quote, Christian leaders who have been opposed to Trump.
Trump all along, yeah. I get it. Okay. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. Guess what, people? There's more winning to report. I just get teary-eyed. Every day is good news. It's good news after good news after good news. Now, the good news is in response to terrible things that have happened in our country, but President Trump, Vice President Vance, and their team, giving credit where credit's due, they are turning ship of the USS America around. We'll be back momentarily.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives. which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Wesley, Fred, and Ray. And Wesley, tell folks if they want to watch the show, how can they do that?
I don't know. I have no clue. I'm just...
you're going to have to prepare yourself better than you are right now for the show.
I'm kidding. You don't know
where we are on the internet.
You can go to stream.
Stream?
You can't go to just stream.
Okay.
Okay. You have to go to stream.afa.net.
Okay.
Stream.afa.net. Is that correct? Yep. There it is.
So that's a live video show.
That's a
live video of some of our shows here.
Yes, that's right. And some of our radio programs are videoed, and some of them are not. But afr.net is where I would recommend you going, because
we're on Facebook and YouTube, right?
Yes. Any other place?
Well, Today's Issues. Tell us where we are, Brent.
You can also go to Twitter or X and search for American Family Radio.
Okay.
And see us there as well.
So we're on X. We're on Facebook.
Facebook, YouTube.
Just type in Today's Issues.
That's right. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, there you go, people. If you want to join us via the, you know, any of those websites, you can do that. Well, we mentioned earlier in the show about the President of the United States, Donald Trump, yesterday. Having a big to-do at the White House to celebrate his signing of an executive order which bans boys and men from playing in girls' sports in schools in our country. And that's just one thing that the president has done in the last couple of weeks to advance common sense and protect children. And joining us to talk about it is Robert Gagnon. Robert is a visiting scholar at the Wesley Biblical Seminary, and he's a frequent guest here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Robert, good morning to you.
Good morning. Glad to be back, Tim.
All right, lay it out for us. What has President Trump done?
It's unbelievable. It's just like an avalanche of great stuff happening with regard to protecting children and protecting women against transgender tyranny. There is the executive order that are protecting children now from chemical and surgical mutilation. You know, it used to be called gender-affirming care. Federal government's not going to call it that anymore. It's going to call it exactly what it is, chemical and surgical mutilation. And this is primarily going to affect the hospitals. Hospitals, if they want any federal research or education grants, they want any funding coming from Medicare or Medicaid, they have got to cease this chemical and surgical mutilation of children. This, of course, would include puberty blockers, cross-gender hormones, and any surgery, all of which threatens children with permanent loss of fertility, complete sterility, sexual dysfunction, mutilation and sort of a freakishness gender that is being created out of this. So this is protecting the children of our country from effectively child abuse. Then, in addition to that, so many other things consistent with his earlier, his first executive order, protecting women from gender ideology, they completely cleared out from the executive branch anything at all promoting gender identity ideology, taking down websites, information that supports it, terminating all agencies, contracts, grants, requiring federal employees to remove pronouns from the email signatures. No longer are males allowed in intimate spaces of females, including, of course, restroom. No longer is there going to be federal training that promotes gender ideology or these struggle sessions, et cetera. Just a wonderful series of actions that have been taken. In addition to that, other things have come down the pike. In addition to protecting children from chemical and surgical mutilation, an executive order put out on January 29th, ending all radical indoctrination in K through 12 schooling. So no more federal resources, no more federal monies to schools that are promoting this radical gender identity ideology, or even promoting this sort of radical equity ideology that is requiring if you're white to admit your implicit racism and to be basically persecuted for it. None of that will now be allowed in K through 12 schools. So if you're in a school that does that now, they need to be alerted to the fact that that is now in violation of this federal executive order. And if they want to continue to receive any monies from the federal government, they have to stop that immediately. And of course, you referred also to this other great executive order that came out yesterday, keeping men out of women's sports. They're now going to apply Title IX correctly. That is not to allow men in female sports and locker rooms, private spaces, but now to protect women against that. And not only to help in schools, but also all athletic organizations nationally and internationally. They're going to be convening meetings to iron things out so that we don't have any males anymore participating in female sports. And if you're a foreign athlete who is a biological male and you intend to participate in female sports, you would not be allowed in the country to do so. So just tremendous positive benefits here taking place.
All right, Robert, where, all that you just outlined, you put in your article. Where can people read that?
These articles you can see by going to the American Spectator. The article with regard to both keeping males out of female sports and ending radical indoctrination in K-12 schooling, that's something that will probably be out on Friday.
And we also put a link on our Today's Issues Facebook page to the column that our guest Robert Gagnon wrote about this. Ray, do you have a question for Robert?
Oh, I sure do. Robert, certainly the Democrats are not going to take this lying down. They're going to fight back. So what should we expect as the Democrat response to this avalanche of good news coming out of the White House on the transgendered issue?
Well, there are two things that are basically happening right now with regard to the issue of chemically castrating children or mutilating children. First, we should note a good positive development out of that, which is that a number of hospitals have now paused or suspended any chemical intervention in children's natural gender growth. So that's wonderful. We just heard word yesterday, Los Angeles Children's Hospital, key one, doing this, has now suspended that completely. So all that's good. But the two-pronged actions being taken by Democrats against this, one is the Attorney General, Letitia James, notorious Attorney General, is threatening hospitals in New York with state prosecution for violating state's anti-discrimination laws regarding gender identity as a protected class. So we may see that increasing in various Democratic states. Also, two U.S. district court judges, one in District of Columbia and one in Rhode Island, in response to lawsuits, have issued temporary restraining orders preventing the Trump administration from withholding federal funding to hospitals and other venues that are practicing this surgical and chemical mutilation. So the courts are getting involved in this. And obviously, anything that happens in the courts are going to be appealed, and ultimately they're going to go to the Supreme Court. But if you're having the Attorney General of your state threatening prosecution to any hospitals that don't do chemical mutilation, then keep those cards and letters coming into your attorney generals.
Hey, Robert, man, that's just good news after good news after good news. And I know you're like us here. You're not easily impressed on on these issues because you've been entrenched in the culture war for a long time. And we've heard a lot of hot air from politicians before about I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm with you on this. And then
when they get elected,
the rubber hits the road, the pressure comes, and they go, oh, we'll get back to you on that later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They back down, they compromise. With respect to this issue, President Trump has not done any of those things. He's been 100% the first few weeks here, and I don't know there's much more he can do, quite frankly. I mean, telling the U.S. Olympic Committee and the world don't plan on coming to Los Angeles for the Olympics in 2028. Is it 2028? 2028, if you're going to pretend you're a girl and you're a dude, we're going to.
Well, we played President Trump's comment from the prayer meeting earlier in the radio program where he said this is simple. This is not a complex thing.
I know.
Men and women.
I know. But it takes some courage in today's world.
That's right.
In today's world, it takes some courage to talk as openly as he is talking about this particular issue. I know that sounds crazy, but it does take some because you get.
Yes,
go ahead, Robert.
I have both praise and criticism for him. I have praise for Trump in this sense. On the issue of transgenderism, he has shown more political courage than most. Even evangelical Christian leaders, which I say to their shame.
No,
and
you're right.
For all the criticism.
Right.
Yeah, all the criticism made of Trump. He's this, he's that, the other thing. Yet he's the one, the instrument in God's hands that God is using to accomplish these great things that Christians shamefully have frequently cowered in fear.
Yeah, we hadn't, though. We hadn't. You hadn't. But some of our brethren have. We're about to name them right now.
Oh, I know. Yeah, definitely AFA excluded from that criticism.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely. You guys.
We're a hate group, man. We can't get any worse than us. We're a hate group.
Hey, I do think I'd like to get his Robert's comments on this, though. I do think the tide is changing because we've, for many, many years, 30, 40 years, we lost a language war big time. Mm-hmm. But with the shift of gender-affirming care to being chemical and surgical mutilation, Robert, don't you think that with time that's going to a combination of the change in language and then the reality of what it is, don't you think we're going to win some of this back?
Yeah, I don't think we can underestimate the significance of the change of language.
Amen.
Because the language defines the parameters of the debate. And Amen. Now we're saying we're not accepting this ridiculous language anymore, like gender-affirming care. It's the exact opposite of gender-affirming care, because gender should, of course, always coordinate with biological sex. Otherwise, person is leading a self-dishonoring and self-deceptive and harmful life. So all of that, that's a wonderful stuff. But the criticism I have still is what's being left out of all this and protected, including radical indoctrination in the schools, is homosexual practice. So Trump is only focusing on gender identity ideology. He's not at all addressing the sexual orientation elephant in the room. And that is an unfortunate thing. Now, still, am I happy? I'm thrilled because the worst effects are being dealt with. Now, maybe after those are dealt with, we can start talking about the rejection of personal freedom and conscience and faith concerns in the classroom and elsewhere. But at least we get something going which is certainly more than we could say for the Biden administration and a would-be Harris administration, which would have been the exact opposite.
They were enemies of nature and the family, and the family unit.
They wouldn't have been at the Christian.
Yeah, Perry. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. Thank you, Robert. Take care. Have a good day, my friend.
All right.
It's Robert Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N. He's visiting scholar at the Wesley Biblical Seminary. And the article that he wrote, which praises the multiple actions that President Trump has taken in the last couple of weeks to advance common sense and protect children, is go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and we got the article posted there. You can link there and read it.
I'll say this in passing.
Yeah.
We've also got his permission. We're also going to use this in our Stand print magazine next month.
Oh, good.
Yep. So.
Good, absolutely. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of the show, Today's Issues. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Ray. Next story, Fred.
Well, if you're a federal government worker and you live in the D.C. area, you probably have today circled on your calendar because this is deadline day.
Oh, forgot about that.
This is deadline day, and the deadline is about this. President Trump has said, because so many of these workers have been working from home. In fact, the figure that's been used is only 6% of the federal workers who occupy or are supposed to occupy offices in D.C. have been showing up for work. This all goes back to COVID days. But these workers have continued, most of them, to work from home. Today, they must decide. You can take an 8-month buyout. In other words, you don't want to come back into the office. Where you're eliminating your job, we'll give you 8 months severance, stay where you are. But if you don't accept it, we expect you back in the office. So it's going to be really interesting to see. The reports are there's at least 20,000 or so who have said they've made their decision, they're going to take the buyout. We're not sure about that, but that's a biggie. The other thing that's going on that has the left head spinning again, the left head spinning a lot these days over things.
I know. I mean, how many times can you spin before it spins off?
This is the U.S. aid cuts. We've talked about this, where your taxpayers' money has been going to homosexual programs and all kinds of weird things all over the world. Well, Elon Musk has been put in charge as the guy in charge of government efficiency. Well, the Democrats held a kind of impromptu news conference yesterday. Talk about head spinning. Let's have a listen to what those spinning heads are saying. Cut number two.
What Elon Musk is doing is illegal. It is a coup.
Elon Musk makes unsafe cars, and now he wants to create an unsafe world.
We will not shut up. We will stand up. We will speak up. That same spirit that Elon Musk has, coming from South Africa, we're not going to have apartheid in America anymore.
Who does Musk think he is? He has absolutely no right in shutting down USAID. We cannot allow that. We've got to take to the streets.
That poor, what are they banging there?
They had a little podium.
That podium's going to give in. Do you hear all that banging on that podium? Play that again. Let's hear that.
Hear anger.
What Elon Musk is doing
this is AOC.
Illegal. It is a coup.
Elon Musk makes unsafe cars, and now he wants to create an unsafe world.
We will not shut up.
No.
We will stand up.
Yes.
We will speak up. That same spirit that Elon Musk has, coming from South Africa.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to have apartheid in America anymore.
Who does Musk think he is? He has absolutely no right in shutting down USAID.
All right, so that was yesterday in Washington, D.C.
They still, after all of that, they still don't have a leader.
No.
I couldn't.
Elon Musk is powerful. He's a coup leader.
All right.
He's a head of our
Was that AOC to Alexandria
apartheid?
Ocasio-Cortez?
he's apartheid. Illegal.
Well, whoever was that? Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey. I think he
was in
the
part of it.
He threw in the idea that Elon Musk is from South Africa.
From South Africa,
which
right?
Had the we're history of apartheid, so we're not having apartheid.
He's not. Look, Elon Musk is a citizen. And admittedly, okay, he's the richest man in the world. He doesn't have an office in the White House. He doesn't have a title. He's just using his own bully pulpit of X to speak out in favor of American freedom and rooting out corruption and waste. And the left hates him for it. Hates him.
He has actually been appointed by President Trump.
Yes.
So this isn't something that he does without any accountability. Right. What Elon Musk could do, and he's acting basically as a special employee of President Trump. Let me just say one thing, and I know Wes, you want to comment. As I said yesterday, I know there was some concern among people that what role was Elon Musk going to have with President Trump, and would it be good or bad? Are indifferent, and there was some worry that it would be bad for some reason. A lot of people were suspicious because he doesn't have a long history in politics. Elon Musk, he's been a businessman and an inventor and an innovator and an entrepreneur and very, very highly intelligent, motivated guy. But when I saw that he became involved with President Trump's campaign, I heard him talk, Elon Musk. He doesn't need that. He could have just as well stayed out of this. But he saw the threat that secular progressivism was to freedom and liberty and our way of life in America, and he loves this country. He grew up in South Africa. He immigrated to the U.S. He loves this country. Elon Musk, I'm talking about. And he said, I've got to step up. I got to get involved. I got to whatever extent it was a risk for him monetarily. Good night, he's the richest man in the world. But he said, what I'm saying, he could be on a yacht somewhere in the Mediterranean right now, and instead he's in Washington, D.C. trying to help save our country from government fraud and waste and pointing out that's the reason they're getting mad. Those people that you just heard unhinged.
They're being audited.
They're being mad. They're angry because the political left in this country has been able to get millions and billions of dollars to these one agency after another that got three or four letters and they get this money distributed from the omnibus bill every year, whenever, and nobody's accountable for it. As I've said, federal tax dollars it's everybody's money and nobody's money. So nobody oversees it once it's gone. And so what's been going on is Elon Musk is uncovering, is that he's showing where he's doing auditing, basically. He's got about five or six 19 to 24-year-old high-tech individuals roaming around Washington with him, and they're finding out all this stuff. And what's been happening with this USA that you heard them talking about right now, they're just a far-left organization using United States tax dollars to promote their agenda here and abroad, and a lot of their agenda is transgendered stuff, is LGBT stuff.
DEI stuff.
It has nothing to do with advancing the interest of the United States. Right. It's just a slush fund for the left-wingers, and they're mad about it because Elon Musk pointed this out, and he said they're irredeemable. We just need to shut them. He told President Trump they need to be shut down. Mm-hmm. This U.S. aid, which gets how much money? $50 billion or something like that?
Yeah.
$50 billion U.S. tax money to do what they want to. And now they're upset because Elon Musk is saying this is an illegitimate use of federal tax dollars and it needs to be shut down. And the thing about it is Elon Musk, one day he's there and then the next day he goes over somewhere else. I didn't know what the role was going to be. I didn't know if it was going to be ceremonial or what. No, it's not. Elon Musk, I guess I should have known a guy like Elon Musk is not going to waste his time with something that's ceremonial. He's doing the research for President Trump and then reporting back to him. And then President Trump is saying, okay, yes, do this, don't do this. And to the extent that the president can control the funding and the employees at said agencies that are the deep state. By deep state, I mean they're all liberals, and they're all far lefties, all throughout the federal government. I'm not saying all of them are. I'm saying the vast majority of these people at these organizations are. That's why D.C. votes Democrat so overwhelmingly, and the suburbs around Washington, D.C., and Virginia and Maryland. If you look at them, that's what's changed the dynamics of Virginia politics, that northern Virginia suburbs of Washington, D.C., they vote Democrat. They all vote Democrat, heavily Democrat. Why do they do that, you say? Why wouldn't they be at least be 50-50? Because they all get these federal tax dollars to do stuff like Elon Musk is pointing out, and now they've been found out, and they've been spotlighted, and they're upset about it. And that's the reason they're screaming like squeal pigs up there in Washington, D.C., and tearing up podiums. You know, right there. So anyway, I just say, from what I can tell right now, I just say Elon Musk is doing a bang up job.
Yeah,
and like they said, more cowbell. I say more
Elon.
More Elon is what I say. We need some more Elon.
Go man, go.
All right, that's right.
You're consider listening. It like an independent audit. I mean, he doesn't have to be paid by the government to evaluate.
He's not taking any.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. They're criticizing him for that.
Yeah, you're not wasting money with him because he doesn't need your money, and he's doing this voluntarily. All right, Fred, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll be back with Chris Woodward and more news. Got some more good stuff to report, folks, coming up after the break. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.